Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. Approximately every 2,500 years, a new teacher brings a body of teaching to humanity that is suited to our needs at that particular time. Usually this takes place at the end of an age. Right now, as the age of Pisces declines and our solar system aligns with the constellation Aquarius, new energies are beginning to make themselves felt. As these Aquarian energies of sharing and justice stream into our planet, the need for change can be seen more clearly. A period of chaos ensues as the old order lessens its grip on humanity, and the impulse of sharing, justice and peace inspires us to move forward in evolution as a united group.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our regular Friday morning program. And today we have part one of a two-part series on the theme of the environment. And it is titled, appropriately enough, Save Our Planet. And we're going to start with a report from Share International magazine, which had the headline, Over 1 million young people go on strike for climate change. And in one of the largest environmental protests in history, an estimated 1.4 million young people in 123 countries skipped school and took to the streets on Friday, 15th March 2019, to demand stronger action on climate change. The global protests were inspired by 16-year-old Swedish environmental activist Greta Thunberg, who began missing school on Fridays in August 2018 to protest outside the Swedish Parliament. Students around the world soon began similar protests, and now school strikes have spread around the world. And we have a quote here from Greta. "We have been born into this world and we have to live with this crisis, and our children and our grandchildren. We are facing the greatest existential crisis humanity has ever faced. And yet it has been ignored. You who have ignored it know who you are."
Scientists and academics in many countries have signed open letters giving their support to the climate strike movement. Now, parents and grandparents are mobilizing in support of the youth strikes for climate under the banner Parents for the Future, and have also written an open letter demanding urgent action. And it's a quote from Parents for the Future. It says, "The global climate youth movement is doing the hardest part, standing up against the inertia of the current system to protect not only their future, but ours as well. We now owe it to them to act, for hope without action is wishful thinking." In an article in the UK's The Guardian newspaper on the day of the global march, Secretary General of the United Nations Antonio Guterres wrote, "These schoolchildren have grasped something that seems to elude many of their elders. We are in a race for our lives and we are losing. The window of opportunity is closing. We no longer have the luxury of time, and climate delay is almost as dangerous as climate denial. I know young people can and do change the world. Many of you are anxious and fearful for the future. But I know humankind is capable of enormous achievements. Your voices give me hope. The more I see your commitment and activism, the more confident I am that we will win. Together with your help and thanks to your efforts, we can and must beat this threat and create a cleaner, safer, greener world for everyone."
Greta Thunberg, recently nominated as a candidate for this year's Nobel Peace Prize, said, "People keep asking me, what is the solution to the climate crisis? They expect me to know the answer. That is beyond absurd, as there are no solutions within our current systems. We need a whole new way of thinking. The political system that you, adults, have created is all about competition. We need to start cooperating and sharing the remaining resources of this planet in a fair way. We are just passing on the words of the science. Our only demand is that you start listening to it and then start acting. So our next article is taken from an interview with Vandana Shiva by a Share International group member by the name of Jason Francis. And the article is titled From Consumers to Caretakers, and it featured in the November 2007 magazine. Vandana Shiva is a physicist, environmental activist, and author of numerous books. She is a leader in the Global Justice Movement, an international network of organizations and movements working towards the equitable distribution of the world's resources. Vandana Shiva begins by asking the question, what are the principles of Earth democracy?
The first principle is the recognition that we are first and foremost children of the Earth, and we share the Earth with other species. Our first identity is as an Earth community, whether they are identities of gender or race, language or religion. With that identity comes a sense of duty and responsibility. Earth democracy can only be founded on recognizing the principle of diversity, and in recognizing diversity, creating the conditions of peace on Earth. If we are a family on the Earth, and the Earth can renew itself indefinitely to the extent that humans do not intervene and destroy the cycles of renewability through our exploitation, sharing the limited resources then of the Earth becomes a key factor in Earth democracy.
When we think of economy, we think only of the market economy and through that the global market. This is a supermarket model of the economy based on seeing ourselves as consumers, not as co-creators with nature. In a sustainable system, the biggest economy is nature. The second biggest is the sustenance economy, where humanity sustains and rejuvenates itself as a community, a social network. And then the smallest part, actually, is the market economy. As the market economy grows, particularly the financial market, nature's economy and the sustenance economy shrink. The shrinkage of nature's economy is what we call the ecological crisis. The shrinkage in the people's economy is what we would call both the poverty crisis as well as the human alienation crisis.
Nature's economy is based on non-violence. That doesn't mean there aren't food chains. It doesn't mean that tigers won't be predators. But it does mean that the cycle of life rejuvenates itself. The sustenance economy's primary principle is to do no harm. It is based on non-violence. Unfortunately, the primary function of the market economy is totally based on violence. It's based on violence to the earth, but it is also based on violence to people. 10 years of so-called trade liberation has led to 150,000 Indian farmers committing suicide because of the dysfunctionality of an economy in which it costs more to produce something on the land than you can earn from it, which is the very nature of this distorted, globalized economy. In Earth democracy, there is a deep recognition that the resources of the Earth are gifts to be shared by all for equal sustenance and not for the greed of a few. Unfortunately, the trade agreements are turning these common resources into privatized property to be traded for profit by a handful of corporations. As far as water is concerned, trade agreements as well as the World Bank's Structural Adjustment Program are forcing the privatization of water.
The trade agreement that is particularly relevant is called the General Agreement on Trade and Services, or GATS for short, as well as bilateral agreements that, in effect, do the same. They treat environmental goods and services, like water, as a tradable commodity to be owned, bought and sold by corporations. Since water is a common resource and is used and is sustained as such, corporations must steal it from a community to turn it into their commodity to trade for profit. One dramatic example of this is Coca-Cola. Whenever it sets up a plant, it takes up to 1.5 to 2 million litres per day of groundwater from a community without asking their permission. Another big case of hydropiracy is the case of privatisation of water in cities, where common water from rivers is tapped by companies, put into pipes and sold at very high prices to citizens who before that were getting it as a public good. These are the changes that hydropiracy and biopiracy bring. They take what belongs to the public at large, what lies in what's called the commons, and turn it into private property and steal from poor communities for giant corporations to make even more money than they already make.
There's a four-fold crisis emerging from the globalized food system. The first aspect of this crisis is its very heavy and clumsy ecological footprint. Industrialized aquaculture uses 10 times more energy than it produces as food. It uses 10 times more water than ecological aquaculture uses, which means it's 10 times less efficient in water use. It replaces people and their creativity with fossil fuels, with toxins, with giant machinery and pollution in the form of CO2 from those fuels. On the one hand, that is leading to a toxification of the planet and our food system. But it is also responsible for the greenhouse gas pollution, the issue of climate change, and poses a huge threat to the future of humanity. The second aspect of this crisis is the fact that primary production through farming is being destroyed. Farmers are being turned into a threatened species. Small farmers could be extinct in the next few decades if we do not organise the food system differently.
A third food-related crisis is what I call the health bomb, which has two dimensions. On the one hand, as food is industrialised and globalised, food goes away from those who produce it. It gets consumed where there's purchasing power, which leaves a billion people hungry on the planet. That's the malnutrition of the poor. But there's also malnutrition of the rich. 2 billion people are suffering from diseases because of bad food. 3 billion, that's half the world's population, are cursed with denial of health, where health itself is the primary reason we eat, maintaining our bodies, nourishing our systems. Finally, the fourth aspect of this crisis is the crisis of culture. We are what we eat. Food is a very important part of our identity. Different cultures have been shaped by the different traditional foods available. As our industrialized and globalized food culture takes over, it reduces food to another monoculture, but a monoculture of impoverished, nutritionally deficient and toxin-rich junk food, which is a curse for humanity. And for young people, this cultural alienation is showing up in new types of diseases like anorexia and bulimia, where humanity is now so estranged from the act of eating that food is becoming a curse.
The first measure we need to take to resolve the crisis is to recognize that we can produce more and better food by staying small in terms of units of production. There's a huge myth that says we need large-scale industrial corporate farming to increase food production. But large-scale farms aren't more productive. In 20 years of research, I have shown repeatedly that the smaller the farm, the greater its biological output. Large-scale farms are concentrated in terms of ownership. They're not more effective in terms of producing nutrition and health for people. It has nothing to do with the quantity that is produced. It has a lot to do with the power and control of land, resources, and ownership over them. So we have to defend the small farmer vigorously and spread small farming and ecological farming around the world. Ecological farming addresses all forms of these crises. It addresses the ecological crisis by reducing our pressure on resources. It solves the problem of disposability of farmers by putting farmers back on the land. It solves the problem of health because small and biodiverse farms produce better and higher quality food.
If you look at the dominant expressions of where the human species is, the dominant media, newspapers, government policy preoccupations, one would think we are very far from Earth democracy. But consider that the large majority of the world in Africa, Asia and Latin America, the peasants and tribal people in remote villages, are actually practicing Earth democracy. that's the practice of the majority. And then think of how many people are making change quietly, below the radar, in their consciousness, in their heart. I would conclude that the majority of the people in the world are shifting to Earth democracy. The world teacher Maitreya, in his message number 12, as given through Benjamin Krem, says that man's problem today, as always, is of his own making. It is not inherent in the plan of God. By the misuse of his divine free will, man has placed his future and that of all the kingdoms in jeopardy. He goes on to say,
many today are beginning to realize this and are taking such steps as they can to avert catastrophe. This is good, but not all men see the danger which faces mankind in increasing potency. Time is short indeed for the reconstruction of our world along lines more befitting man's true role and purpose. My task is to show you the way, outline the possibilities only, for by man himself must a new world be forged. There are many today who admit the necessity for change, but still resist it. There are many today who see the crumbling of the old and outworn worlds of the past, but cling to the old forms. But there is a new voice being heard among the nations, the voice of truth, which contains the hope, the promise of the new times. This voice will increasingly make its imprints on the minds of men, for it is the voice of God speaking through men. My masters are with you and will show you the way. I myself will lead. Can it be that you will renounce this guidance, this opportunity to rise and progress? No, my friends, I think not. I shall show you that the way for man is the way of brotherhood, close cooperation and mutual trust and service. This is the only way. All else has failed.
So we'd like to finish with excerpts from one of the Master's articles. This one was sourced from Share International Magazine, November 2007 issue, and it's titled The Earth in Travail, and it begins. It may be said that at last some men are beginning to take seriously the dangers posed by global warming and the consequent climate changes that this is bringing about. It is true that there is much disagreement over the reality and extent of the dangers and of the best means of approaching the problems which are agreed to exist. However, there is no doubt that some men at least are recognising that men face a formidable task in halting the progress of destruction and in stabilising the environment. It is also true that even the most aware and concerned of men know little of the extent and complexity of the problems. The problem of pollution is such a case. Pollution takes many forms, some obvious and easily dealt with, if the will to do so exists. Some, however, require a science and a remedy as yet unknown to man. They are so toxic and destructive that they must be given high priority to overcome. The effect of pollution on the quality of air, food and animals, and on fish and rivers and the oceans is known but largely ignored.
The most destructive of all, that caused by nuclear radiation, awaits discovery by Earth scientists. The upper levels of nuclear radiation are beyond the present atomic technology. They are also the most toxic and hazardous to man and the lower kingdoms. On all those levels, the problem of pollution must be overcome. This can be achieved only by a complete reconstruction of the present political, economic, and social structures. Man has ravaged and polluted the Earth and severely damaged his own environment. Now man must see it as a top priority to remedy what he has heard and to restore to health his ailing planet.
That's all we have time for today. Thank you very much for listening in. If you would like more information, check out the website, which is share-international.org. Otherwise, feel free to communicate with us by email at sharenz@yahoo.com. Love and blessings to you all.